This is Not the Average Real Estate Podcast by Not Your Average Real Estate Investor. Dipna Boholt used real estate investing strategies to completely replace the income from her accountancy practice with passive income in just 18 months and has since taught thousands of others to do the same. Welcome to the I Love Real Estate Podcast.
Hi there, my name is Dipna Boholt and I'm the founder of I Love Real Estate. And I thought it'd be fantastic to sit here and talk to one of my students about what he's been able to do and what he's been able to achieve and how he's been able to turn his life around. So I have with me, I have Greg. Hey, Greg.
How are you today?
I'm doing good, very good. Well. So let's talk about you, shall we? Well,
fantastic. Not my favourite subject, but I'm stuck here now, aren't I?
look, you're a boy from the bush. What can I say? So let's actually talk about that. Let's talk about a little bit about attitude, and Australian attitude in particular, as to how we don't like to talk about money, and in particular, we don't like to talk about our successes. And I believe that country people generally are the worst at it. They're the ones who really don't like to talk about anything. You know, you ask somebody in the bush what how things are going. Oh, pretty, yeah, the weather, this happened, the whatever.
It's pretty generic, isn't it?
It is.
And across
the country.
Yeah. And it's not also money-based either, you know.
It's weather, you know, it's rain, it's...
Well, I grew up talking about three things: grass, cows, and the weather. That was the three things that we spoke about. That was, you go anywhere and you can talk to anyone about the grass, the weather.
But it's never fabulous, is it?
No, it's just okay.
Yeah, so it's okay or it's crap.
Just getting by or...
Yeah, yeah. And this is the thing, you know, if you are constantly filling your head with stuff that, you know, you're just getting by or it's just okay, then that's the kind of life that you're going to lead. And, you know, it's really a massive mind shift that you have to go through in order to start powering ahead and be proud of it.
And yeah, absolutely. And it's something I've had to... I'm still a little bit uncomfortable at times talking about it, absolutely. You know that.
Mm. That's why I got you here.
Exactly. But, you know, one of the other things that I've had to learn as well is that it's okay to talk about, you know, your financials and, you know, and being successful.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that even some of my friends don't know what I do still. So, you know, it's something that I'm still not comfortable 100% talking about.
Yeah.
But you grow up, especially in that regional environment, you know, mm-hmm. that country environment, and some for metro as well, but, you know, you grow up and money's hard.
Yes.
You know, it's hard to come by. It's
hard
to
work really hard.
Work really hard. And that was a bit of my mindset coming in, wasn't it, when I joined IRL Estate.
Oh, yes.
Nine or 10 years ago, whatever it was now. So, yeah. So we've been really lucky. I've had some really good changes.
Yeah. And you say about 9 years you've been with I Love Real Estate?
Yeah. It was, I remember going to, I actually met you at a big event. There's about 6,000 people.
Yeah.
And, I wasn't quite sure about you for a start.
Oh, because, really?
You know, well, I couldn't pronounce your name for a start.
Nobody can. So that my always, husband can't that pronounce my name. What are you talking about?
That always threw me for a little bit for a start. But, you know, but then when you started talking about this positive cash flow, it made sense because, you know, we had a couple of properties. They weren't big properties. They weren't expensive properties. But they were, you know, just your run-of-the-mill block of land, buy a house, put it on it and negative the gear, really.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people start because that's all that's taught out there, unfortunately, other than obviously in I Love Real Estate. And I've come from the bush and I know that it's, you know, it is such a growth phase that you have to go through to really excel. Yeah. And it's not just the country. I mean, I'm banging out of the country because we're both from the country. Yeah. But
well, we can do it because we're there.
Well, that's right. That's our roots. Whereas, you know, when you can overcome that and you recognise success and you applaud success and you're happy to talk about success, oh, my God, things change.
And the other thing is that there's the education level also is, you know, and that's why I found what you were doing and still do, obviously, still involved with you guys, is it's really important because the education is something that I didn't have. I left school when I was 15 and I didn't have a formal education, tuition, it's nothing. So, and no one that I knew was talking about finance and real estate and all of those things.
Yeah.
So it was a breath of fresh air to be able to learn and then, you know, to be able to implement as well.
That's right. Actually pay for your education.
Yeah.
So let's go back a little bit. 9 odd years ago, what was your situation?
Didn't have any real money. Hmm. You know, it was. Yeah, I had some property, but they didn't have a lot of equity in them. Capital growth in those markets is
tough.
You know, pretty flat. 10 or 15 years down the track, it might have, you know, slowly gone up, but, you know, nothing I could move forward with. Cash flow was very ordinary. You know, farming back then was, it still is, really tough. So, you know, we got by, but we weren't flush with cash. So yeah, pretty much no, not very limited equity and very limited financials or cash.
So how did you end up sitting in a room with me?
I took a bit of action, I suppose. It's the one thing that I did grow up with was you just have to knuckle down and take the action and make things happen. And you know, for a lot of things that I might be a little bit deficient in, or I see that I'm not as strong in, one thing I like to think is I take action on what I see. And if I liked it, which I did, you know, we went to that event, and I think there were 6,000 people at that event. It was massive. So we were there, and I just signed up for the boot camp and had a little bit of an ordinary drive home.
So your wife wasn't quite on board?
She wasn't on board would be a fair statement at the time. That's changed a lot since, but, you know, she was out shopping for the day and she thought she'd spent some money. Well, I'd spent more on the education, but the good thing is it's paid itself back. I couldn't even count how many times now, so which is incredibly important. But, yeah, we took action on that and went to a boot camp, which was...
So, I mean, I do a number of different programs, but my ultimate boot camp, my ultimate training program, coaching program, is the start, because we cover so much from a fundamental perspective, you know, all of the logistics of tax and asset protection and finance strategies and you know, legals and contracts and superannuation and all those fundamentals, but then all of the strategies. You know, and everything from a simple little renovation right through to a complex development or commercial deal. But then after that, it's about the business planning. And I think that's the one thing that really cements all the rest of it, being able to have a plan of attack to be able to move forward and achieve your goals.
Yeah, and for me, you know, again, growing up on the farm, and I do relate a lot of that back to there, I was able to see the financials, and I could, you know, I was lucky enough to grow up and be involved in the financial decisions on the farm, but I didn't know the strategies on how to implement that and how it all tied in.
Yeah.
So one thing that the education was able to provide was the fact that I could then see my financial position and then look at where I was and where I wanted to get to and move and strategically look at what step do I need to take.
That's right.
You know, and right up to, you know, the last couple of months with some of the deals we've done is how they're going to improve our cash flow position to offset some of the bigger deals that we're doing with the chunk deals.
Yeah.
So that's definitely made a big difference.
And I guess having all of the professionals around you as well.
Well, they were instrumental in being able to get the picture.
Yeah.
Because, you know, without those guys, they don't, you know, they help you sit there and look, here's your situation, this is what you need to do next. So, you know, without their assistance and guidance and, you know, the guys from PAC Law and Wisdom are important.
Yeah, really absolutely. Important. So let's talk about your journey, because you started off doing a few little renos and subdivisions and things like that.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm reasonably good with my hands, but I'm not really fantastic. So, you know, just good at bulky, doing the bulky sort of stuff, so ripping out stuff on the renos, but not really putting them back together.
Yeah.
The thing that I really enjoyed was the subdivisions. That was my really, that's what I excited. It got me excited, the land, especially having plenty of land. You know, that was always good around.
You're a land man.
Yes. Well, I always looked at the fundamental underneath. It was easy to deal with that, you know.
Yeah.
So we implemented Renault Subdivide Build. That was our sort of cookie cutter strategy that we started out with, and it provided me with a really good base level.
Yep.
And then, you know, we're doing a lot more no money down deals and joint ventures and commercial deals now too. So we sort of started at the bargain basement, you know, the smaller deals to cut teeth.
Yep.
Play it nice and safe, I suppose, try and get it right, and then obviously stepping into some bigger stuff.
You know, I don't have a problem with that, because I feel it is much better for people to take a smaller deal and then build up, because if you go too big too soon, any little mistake compounds.
Yeah.
And it can turn nasty. So I know people get really excited about the lure of this great deal and big profits and all that kind of stuff. But if it's too big for them, for where they're at that time, it can ruin them. And I would much, much rather see somebody go into something that they can afford, that they can make some money on, that they've got good buffers in place, because security is a big part of it. And, you know, learn the strategy and then go to the next one and actually build up over a number of years and get a really solid base.
And the couple that we started out with were really low price points.
Yeah.
You know, they were $240,000 as a purchase price point. I had $196,000. You know, they're really cheapies. But, and people say, well, you know, they weren't big deals. And they weren't. But I was still, you know, out of those two, and the reason I remember both of those is because they were my starters. You know,
yeah. What kind of money did you make out of them?
One was $90,000 and the other one's $120,000.
So, look, you can't go broke making money.
Fantastic saying that. No, laugh every time I hear you say that. But well, no, you're right. But how I looked at it, now everyone was getting excited with those big deals. You know, yeah. You see these hundreds of thousands of dollars, and for me, even then, I could see it, yeah. But I couldn't quite understand. I couldn't quite compute that I was worth. My mindset wasn't there.
Yeah.
To be able to say, well, I was worth making that much yeah. money. I was still in that work hard for money yeah. mentality. But I could see that if I could do the deal and make my income, which is around that 80 or 90 grand for the year.
Yeah.
Mind you, I was doing 100 hours a week for that income.
and how long did the little Reno subdivision cost you?
Well,
in time.
In time, they were Victorian deals. Those two first ones, they were 12 months.
Yeah.
But you know,
but you didn't work on them for 12 months.
No, but you know, that's right. I probably put in maybe 20 or 30 hours worth of.
So 20 or 30 hours worth of genuine time. To
work
make
time over that 12
90
months.
To 120 grand is pretty.
That's right.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Well, that's why how my mindset was working at the time.
Yeah.
That I could justify that was okay.
Yeah.
I was still in that mindset, that hard work. You know,
so what made the difference there? To getting out of, I've got to work hard and you know, this is where I'm at and this is, you know, this is what I'm worthy of, to, you know, doing a deal like I know you're in at the moment, which earns you $130,000 worth of passive income.
And per annum.
Per annum, every year.
And I don't have to do much for that either. I'm pretty happy with that. No, look, the mind, it was, I suppose it was unintended consequence of the I Love Real Estate, you know, event.
Yeah. I was intending it. Might have been unintended, but I was definitely intending.
Absolutely, yes. I couldn't get away, could I? But, you know, it was really... How do we explain it? When I went to the boot camp, you know, you're there for property. You think it's just all about the property and it's just about, you know, we're going to learn about strategies and finance and all that stuff. Which you do.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here talking, would we? But then we signed up for Platinum. Yeah. So we went to that 3-day boot camp. And, you know, you learn heaps on mindset and out of the boot camps because it's an integral part. But the Platinum was really where it stepped it up to that next level for us where, you know, my wife at the time, you know Erin's story really
Don't
well.
Say my wife at the time. She will...
Well, she is still my wife,
chop
yes.
off your still, extremities.
Still married, right. No, she's still my wife, the one wife, yes. I can't afford to get divorced. although we're structured okay, but I think that's they see through
no,
that.
They so see no, through all stuff. That stuff.
But, you know, still my wife. But she was my wife back then too.
you are blushing.
I've dug a big
you
hole.
Realize.
I've dug a big hole.
I know.
I'm trying to get out
and
of
it's
it
making
moment,
it bigger.
So. But, you know, she had depression at the time, which we didn't realise.
Yeah, having children.
Which was pretty tough, you know. Yeah. And
it was postnatal depression?
No, it wasn't. No, it was actually preceding that well. So we actually backtracked it through and it was actually prior to our wedding. You know, and it was all the way through there, through the kids. So, and you met us when we had the young guy, he's 8 or whatever he is now. So,
yeah.
That was an unintended consequence. But that was where my mindset changed, where I go, okay, it is okay to make money. I don't have to work hard for money. I don't have to, my hands don't have to be grubby and filthy and full of calluses to work. I don't have to get up at 4:15 every morning.
Because you were in the dairy industry, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. So 4:15, 4 o'clock, 4:15 every morning. You know, sitting on the motorbike, it was just...
And in Victoria, sometimes it's freezing cold and raining.
It's a bit fresh. It's a bit fresh. Yes, definitely. So, you know, that was... But the one thing that carried me through was the vision. So, you know, when I talked about taking action, it's just about... It was about simply taking action on it. So I didn't know where it was going to take me. I didn't know what, but I liked the sound of it. And I knew that there was an option there for me to go forward.
Was there a point in time where there was a switch and you just flicked that switch and that was it? Or did it just kind of slowly creep in?
Just slowly built up a little bit. Where I really realised, I think when it really triggered me was when I started putting the no money down. Because I love the negotiation. I love, yep. you know, people. I love dealing with people. And when I actually was able to do some of the JV deals with no money. Because it's okay to do it with your own money and that's great to do it with your own money. But when I could actually, that was probably the best example of the light bulb going off. Because I could actually sit there and go, I can actually do this.
Yeah.
Because I could qualify to me and others, obviously the JV partners and the vendors, where I was able to then go from you know having money to purchase a property, which you know hypothetically anyone can do.
Yeah, but and you're limited by whatever money you've got.
Yeah, but yeah. to getting to the real point where I could actually go and do a deal with none of our own money.
Yeah.
Talking to the vendor, and you know that deal that you spoke about with the 130 is a no money down deal.
Yeah.
We put less than 10 grand in of our own money.
Yeah.
So that was a real. So when we do those and continuing those, that's where. Yeah,
that made
was probably
that big
the best.
Difference.
Yeah, it sort of crept up, but that was where I had the real definite, okay, I can actually do this.
Yeah. And the proof's in the pudding. You know, you at some point you've got to give it a crack. You can learn, but at some point you've got to put that learning into practice, which you did. And, you know, you get a few successes behind you. It's certainly a game changer from a confidence perspective.
It is. And, you know, the other thing was knocking on doors. I know people go, oh, don't do that.
Hey, I don't see that.
I love it.
Yeah.
No, I love it because it was a comfort zone thing for me. So I just went, okay, that's probably one of the most uncomfortable things that I'm going to have to do is knock on someone's door. And it led to a deal that we did. Mm. So that was, again, you know, another trigger that, okay, yes, I am good enough to get this done. I can make money and be, you know, not getting up a corporate floor.
So, I mean, part of the training that we do, you know, can often lead you off into other directions, and if you want to specialise in this or specialise in that, and that's okay. For Erin, you know, she's done a complete turnaround, and she's actually coaching people on mindset issues now.
She is. She's a qualified life coach, NLP practitioner, so neuro-linguistic programming. So, yeah, and she's got clients of her own that come through. And the good thing is, that, again, she's been there, seen the worst of it, and now she's,
it's crazy, isn't it?
It's insane. It's, you know, but it's really helped our marriage as well. I mean, that's a given.
And that's often the case, you know, when money issues creep in and things are hard, sometimes it's the marriage that actually is the casualty.
Well, we had a lot of pressure from external forces as well.
Yeah.
Namely family and some friends, and they, you know, don't do this, and, you know, what are you doing investing this money, and, you know, it's dangerous, and they just weren't educated the way that we were becoming educated.
Mm.
So that was probably the hardest part to, you know, to work around. Was simply that, you know, we had to let some of them go.
Yeah.
You know, and that was pretty tough.
Especially when they're family.
Especially when they're family, and very close family too. So,
yeah.
But you know, it's something that I can talk about it easily now, but it was definitely a really hard thing for us at the time because, you know, when you shut out sometimes your parents, you know, it's pretty hard to do that.
Especially when you've got grandchildren.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Because they were being that negative that it was stopping us.
It's toxic.
You know? And again, another switch, you know, that was when we stopped that, that negative influence and the influences around us, that's what helped us out.
And I guess that's one thing with I Love Real Estate, the community. I mean, we talk about it as being a community, and everyone goes, yeah, the community. But it's massive. You know, the impact of positive people around you that are actually getting out there and doing things instead of standing around whinging or sitting on the comfy couch watching crap on television.
Well, it's funny you say that. It is a community, and, you know, I sort of think it's a little bit cultish. Am I allowed to say that?
Well,
it's
people not, call it the Bohol cult, but, you know.
but a community. But, you know, I got off a tram in Melbourne there going back, I don't know, 6 months ago, and somebody that knows, you know, has seen us at events and I've spoken to and I know them, you know, they're waving at us from the other side of the road, you know, hey, Greg, how are you going? And so we had a bit of a chat, and then I was on the plane the other day, got off the plane, and a lady said to me, I was listening to you on a webinar the other day.
There you go.
You know, so it is a community, and, you know, it's great to be able to have a catch up with them and, okay, how did that help, and, you know, and find all those things out.
Yeah. And it's great to be able to contribute.
Yes.
You know, like you come on and you're doing a webinar every now and again, and you're on our Facebook Live page and things like that. And, you know, it's one of those things you put it out there and you never know who's listening or when they listen to it. And but I think it's a human thing that when the student is ready to listen, they'll find the teacher.
Yeah.
And that's when they hear it. But even little things like, you know, I've had students that sometimes, you know, they come back to multiple boot camps. I mean, how many boot camps would you have been to?
Tens.
Okay. Yep. I was talking to this one particular student. His name's John.
As in 10, 20, 30. Yeah.
I was talking to this one particular student called John. And I said to him, it must have been like his 20th boot camp he'd been to. And I said, hey, John, how's it going? You know, I said, you know, did you pick up something today?
Mm.
And he said, you said something today that you never said before. And he said what it was. I said, that's a load of crap, John. Mm. I'm sure I've said that on numerous occasions. You just weren't ready to listen. Mm.
Yep.
Have you had those moments?
Absolutely. Yes, definitely. And it's happened to me, but also people that you talk to.
Yeah, about what you said.
Exactly.
You haven't said that before.
You haven't said that before. Yes, I have. You know, that's it's part of what I'd say, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I've had those moments with you because you'll be sitting there and it'll be 2 years down the track.
Yeah.
And I know, especially when I started, and you'd go to an event and you'd be certain part way through. And because you'd progressed yourself and your normal's now, you know, your normal starts here and then your new normal's up here.
Yeah.
You hear something new that's relevant to you at the time.
Yes.
So, Yeah, big difference. Definitely does open up opportunity.
Mm. So, you know, sky's the limit. What do you see yourself doing in, say, 5 years' time?
I actually enjoy what I'm doing.
Good.
I enjoy.
I'm very pleased about that. He's part of Isla Real Estate.
am I allowed to say I wasn't dragged kicking and screaming? No, I really do enjoy.
I saw more potential in you than you saw in you.
Yeah, absolutely, and yeah, and I appreciate that. You know, there was a point. You know, you gave us a call one day, and there was also, you know, you talk about that light switch, that flick, you know, that was probably one of them where I got that phone call and you asked a couple of things, and that was probably one of the ones where I went, okay, I'm actually doing things well, you know, so that was definitely one of them. But I really do enjoy what I'm doing and giving back, talking to the students and you know, anything, if I can help them from what I've done, you know, we've still got lots of growing to do. I mean, I like to think that you're learning as long as you're standing on 2 feet.
Yeah, if you're not growing, you're dying. Exactly. Yeah, which one do you want?
Well, I know which one I prefer at the moment. So, but, you know, it's definitely, you know, I definitely enjoy giving back. That's one thing I really do enjoy doing and growing our portfolio. Now, I get time with the kids now. That was one of my
big
things.
That must be a big difference for you.
Yeah, it was. And that was, you know, when I spoke about earlier about, you know, getting out of farming. And as much as I love the farming, and I still do like that environment. You know, you can sort of take the kid out of the bush, but you can't take the bush out of the kid.
Yeah, I feel like that, but I don't want the hard work that goes with it.
Well, I'm not either. I haven't touched a cow for 4 or 5 years.
A lot longer.
So it's a lot of fun. But, you know, being able to have breakfast with the kids in the morning, drop them off at school. You know, I'm the school council president now. You know, I've got the time to do that.
Yeah.
I pick them up from school if I need to. You know, time on the weekends or whatever. So that was my main driver to do what we do.
Yeah. It's those simple things that make the big difference. They're the things that, you know, the quality of life issues that make such a big difference to your confidence, to your well-being, you know, the balance in your life. All of those things are massive, and I think they're understated a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I say to people, you know, what do you want and why do you want it? And they'll go, oh, I want this and I want that and I want to live here and go to Tuscany and whatever. But in reality, quite often it's just spending time with the kids.
Yeah. It's having the choices for me.
Choices.
It's the choices. Because, you know, the money's, you know, people say, oh, it's the money and it's not, I don't care about the money. I don't want that to sound.
But you probably did when you first started.
I thought I did.
Yes.
I thought it was the money and being able to retire and not have to work. But the reality is,
I've got to be busy.
No, but that's what you think, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
How many students do you talk to?
And I just want to retire.
I just want to retire. I just want to stop work. And the reality
is, how old were you? 30 something.
31 or 30, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so.
You can't do that at that age. No.
So, you know, we've got plenty going on, and I'm probably busier than ever, really. But I still get the time to do what I want, when I want, you know, with the kids and Erin.
And how do you think it's affected the children? Like, what are the ages of your kids?
8, 7, and coming up 4.
8, 7, and 4. How many have 4 kids?
No, 3.
3 kids.
Three boys. 4.
Yeah. I know. You look at the picture of these boys. Oh my God, they look like trouble.
Didn't come from me.
You got these little faces. Oh, you're a little terror. You are gorgeous, but oh my God.
It's nice to know what you know thinking of the kids. I'll show them this when we. I'll make sure I get a recording to show them. Dimna thinks they're terrorists.
It's not. I don't mean it that way. They've just got that little face. It's like, ooh, you know, what mischief can I get into?
Yeah.
What impact do you think it's had on them,
massive.
You taking this course of action?
Without any doubt, it's massive. I think of how I've grown up, and you know a bit more about my story. You know, we might talk about more one day. I don't know how much time we've got and that sort of thing. But, you know, I grew up of it being not quite good enough. Mm. And that was an unintended consequence, again, of how I grew up and then generations of influence coming down the line.
So it's all that programming down.
All that programming, yes.
Undo, yeah.
So we had to undo all that.
Just, I mean, I know I've heard you tell the story before, but just talk about the cricket for a minute.
Yeah. Well, look, the cricket's, hopefully everyone understands cricket out there. I love me cricket.
It's boring.
That's why they invented T20. You know, not everyone has to watch five days of test cricket.
Look, my parents loved cricket, and I had much older parents, and they were like, you know, 50s and 60s when I was growing up as a littlie, And all they used to do was sit around and watch bloody cricket at that time, which they were retired, you know, that's what they were doing. So, like, for me, it was like, oh, the cricket.
I could understand it'd be like pulling teeth for some people, but I enjoy it. So, no, but look,
I do know the rules.
Yeah. It was, look, the story that you're talking about is, you know, and I was, I wasn't the most talented cricketer, but I was, you know,
you were up there.
Reasonable. And yeah, we played a couple of grand finals, and Dad very rarely got to watch any of our sport, and that's nothing against him. It was just the environment we're in, the farming, and exactly why I've turned things around. But he came to one particular grand final, the first grand final that that he'd ever come to watch, and our side was in a fair bit of strife. We were at we were 3 for 12, which is, you know, pretty ordinary, not good. Not in a grand final, not batting first.
No.
And I come in to bat, and I got 50 to 60 runs that day, you know, pulled on a partnership of over 100 with the other guy, got ourselves out of trouble, and won the grand final.
Okay.
I just remember walking off the ground after making that 50 or 60,
good.
Whatever it was. Feeling pretty good because, you know, our top three batsmen, arguably the best in the side, was batting at five, hadn't performed, you know, and that's what teams do. You band together, but yeah, we and I walk off the ground, and it was all good. Everyone's really happy, and we got ourselves in a really good position. And then Dad just said to me, "Pity he didn't make 100." You know, so that sort of stings a little bit. I look back at it now. You know, at the time, you sort of brush it off. You get yourself up, and you're really disappointed. But you know, you're like, "Oh, you've just got to keep going on."
Yeah.
But then the next year, and I was really lucky. We played a number of grand finals in a row. Next year, we were 3 for 14. It was like deja
still
vu.
Not good.
Deja vu all over again. And I remember getting 78 or 79.
Yeah.
Same thing. He, you know, came off and he said, "Great job, but you know, you could have got 100. And it just kept compounding, you know, that not quite good enough, not quite being good enough. And that's really affected a lot of what I've done over the last, 39? So yeah. 39 years.
So what got you out of that to know that you are good enough and you do deserve and you don't have to work your butt off to earn really good money, and it can work smarter and all of those other things?
Yeah. It's definitely environment. Yeah. So putting yourself in that environment, that's the one thing that I did know that I needed to be involved with. You know, even so, signing up for the boot camp, you know, coming along that, I knew I had to put that environment where people that were doing what I wanted to do was in. Mm. And then when the opportunity came up for Platinum, you know, that was just more of a good thing. Mm. I just knew that, again, that was more of a good environment. And, you know, being associated with yourself and all the others, and I love real estate. Now, every single person you talk to, you can learn from and you know, helps you address that you are good enough and you can achieve what you want. Now, tall poppy syndrome is not there.
I remember, and you're probably going to hate me for saying this, I remember...
I'm not sure what you're going to say yet.
one year... I invited my Platinum students to come to my farm, you know?
Yeah, I remember this.
Now,
one.
I call it a farm. It's a hobby farm. It's, you know...
It's a running joke we have. You know.
Yes, it's not really a farm. It's 54 acres. It's nice, but it's just a house on a big block of land, really. You know, I've got a very nice house. It's all lovely, gardens and all that kind of stuff. And you had a little bit of trouble being there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
And what was the go with that? Because I don't think at the time you actually knew what it was.
No.
You just felt uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was really uncomfortable. I'm not sure whether it was the success, you know, that obviously you'd created and the environment. I remember sitting on that rock that you've got out the back.
My meditation rock.
She said, "This rock." And part of the Platinum, you know, experience, I suppose, was going and sitting on your rock. And I just did not want to be there. Did not at all. I couldn't sit still. I just could not be there. And, you know, sometimes I still don't quite understand, but I think it was probably the success and the, you know, the feel.
Mm.
Which is hard
to
explain.
The show of wealth or opulence or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that you felt you didn't belong.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Mm. Well, obviously times have changed and that's not the case anymore. but it was one of those things that for me, it was like, we need to work on this.
Yeah.
You know, there needs to be some turning points here.
Yeah.
Because you didn't see yourself as good enough.
No. And that was definitely ingrained for a long time. Again, I don't blame Dad for that. You know, it was just something that...
Well, he probably got it from his father, you know.
Did.
But
he
unless
did.
Somebody stands up and says, "I'm going to break this
cycle..." Well, that's what Aaron and I, you know, when we joined I Love Real Estate, we joined the Ultimate Program, we went to Platinum and we started to get more educated. And, you know, Erin's that life coach now, and from my perspective, I've progressed a long way.
Oh, you have, absolutely.
We realised that we had to break that cycle, that if we didn't do it, someone else, you know, our kids were going to, and our kids were at that age at the time, you know,
Nate, very impressionable.
The oldest one's 8, you know, they learn everything between 1 and 7, don't they? So, or the majority. So, we knew that we had, from a programming perspective, we knew that we had to break that cycle. So, we only get one go at it, so we've done the best we can.
Yeah, that's right. And you've got gorgeous children.
Even if they are terrorists.
They look like they're so cheeky.
No, they're good.
They've got these mischievous little faces, but they're absolutely beautiful. They're very well-mannered little boys.
They are. I mean, the other benefit, though, that we've actually... I was talking to Erin about this the other day, is that... and I feel like they're missing out on some of the stuff that I grew up in. So the farming
the driving, stuff,
You know, and the animals and the all that sort of stuff.
Tractor.
But then I'm looking at it the other way, and, you know, in some of our deals, like Nate sits there now, Nate's 8 now, so... And they know how to operate the phones and the computers. But, you know, Nate sits there with the on the computer with research. So he's starting to... you know, understand what I'm doing. And then, you know, with the other deal we've got, there's a bit of cash that flows through that business. So they're counting it out, putting it in bundles. And so just the money management stuff I'm starting to...
That's massive.
Filter in. So as much as they're missing out on some of the stuff that I did, they're also learning the other side.
That's right. And, you know, you can always go and buy a farm if you want.
That might not be happening. I always thought, you know, that was one of our goals. I wanted 100 acres, you know, I wanted to downsize down to 100 acres because that was what I classed as a hobby farm in the house. But now, I've got plenty of other things to do and it's not, it's actually...
It's not a priority.
No, not at all.
But you live in a nice place now with, you know,
we've got
a bit of acreage around you and all that sort of stuff.
We live in the bush, we've got a reserve behind us which gives us plenty of space.
You go fishing all the time. We're not petting the
neighbours. Go fishing all the time, not as much as I'd like.
Send me pictures of whales beside your boat.
That was actually a great photo, that one. But, yeah, you know, and, yeah, so we do get to go fishing now. I get to head out most mornings if I choose to, so.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk about what creates that, and people think it's wealth. People think it's, you know, having so much money in the bank and things like that, but it's actually cash flow.
It is. It is. And we're surprised... You set goals, and you set these pretty lofty goals when you first start out. But it's surprising when you do have that passive income coming in, and you don't have to, how much you don't need in a way.
Yeah.
It sort of sounds a bit of an oxymoron, doesn't it?
Yep.
But you don't. You don't need huge amounts. You can cruise along, and but the cash flow, the positive cash flow, the passive cash flow coming in, it makes a massive difference. And just frees up opportunities.
I was talking to you earlier. It's, you know, your wife's got a birthday coming up. And you're supposed to be out shopping for her at the moment. But
got roped into a podcast.
I did. but, you know, we're talking about, well, you know, what do you want to do? And you know, things came up about, well, you could, you know, you can go to Disneyland, you can go here, you can take the kids there, you can do whatever. And the reality is you can do all of those things. It isn't a money decision. It's a, well, what do I want decision. And that's massive. It's absolutely massive.
It's the choices again. You know, it's the choices that's enabled us to make.
Yeah, that's right. So you really didn't answer me about 5 years' time. You nicely skirted around that.
No,
from a property perspective. What would you? Where would you like to see yourself 5 years?
Well, we've got a pretty good system set up. I've been really lucky, and I know you don't believe in luck, and I'm pretty
much created.
You create your own luck. You know, I've got a very good, strong finance background, you know. As much as I grew up on the farm, I had a finance business as well, which was another part to the story. But it's enabled me to work on the strategy part of it. So I've got a really good base of, you know, what deals I need to do next. So I love doing the little cookie-cutter subdivisions, you know, renos, builds, duplexes. I'm sort of over
But you're in a bigger subdivision too at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. So... doing more of those larger ones, but at the same time,
just
keeping those smaller ones just ticking along because they're the good little ones that you can tick over. They're low risk. They're, you know, they're low inputs. They can just cruise along. So we can generate some good income from there. And, you know, some of those bigger deals, you know, the cash flow deals, he's probably acquiring 2 or 3 more of those. I've got 3 kids, so I need one each. So they can be my little cash cows. That's my theory. No better way to teach them than be in it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, yeah, so that's so from that perspective, yeah, we're looking at... not doing as much because I used to do a lot of the stuff myself when we first started. We needed to.
So you don't do that anymore.
No, we don't do it anymore. So, so pretty much just managing, growing some of those, the really good positive cash flow stuff, mm-hmm. growing a few more of those, probably, you know, like I said, one each boy, and then yeah, some more of the chunk deal stuff to offset it, mm-hmm. because that's what I'm really big on knowing what your left and right hands are doing, and I talk a lot with my hands, as you can see.
You've got a bit of Italian blood there, have you?
No, I don't think I do. It's just one of those things. I like to weigh it up. You know, your left hand's cash cow and your right hand's chunk deals, and they've got to balance each other up as you go forward,
true.
Don't they?
That's absolutely true.
So it's the easiest way I find to explain it to people. So from that perspective, that's for the next 5 years, you know, I'd love to be able to continue that but ramp it up a bit, but not lose sight of those small ones.
So what would you say to somebody just starting out right now?
Take action. Do something. Mm-hmm. It's not always easy. You know, some of the choices you have to make are really tough. But it's taking action because, you know, for any of you that are sitting out there, you know, looking and listening and thinking, I could do that, or I should have done that, or I could have done that, you know, there's only one thing, and you know, farming side of it has just taught me you just keep going. Mm. There's no one there to do it for you.
Nope.
At 4:15 in the morning when it's pouring rain in the middle of winter in September in Victoria,
cows still need to be milked.
No one's going to get to do it. So that was my mentality going into it: is if I don't do it, no one else will.
Yeah.
So you know, for anyone that's listening, is absolutely just take that first step. If that first step is signing up to an Ultimate Boot Camp, do it.
Mm.
If it's coming back to a boot camp because you haven't been there, do it.
Mm.
You know, if it's upgrading to Quantum or Platinum,
do
that.
Yeah,
because you know if that's your next step, just do take that next step.
And what would you say to people? Because obviously, you know, education costs money, and it's not just a financial commitment, but it's also a time commitment.
Yeah.
Mind you, I say, you know, how people ask me all the time, how much time do you need to put into it? I replace my income as a single mum on 2.5 hours a week. So that's my minimum requirement. If I did it on 2.5 hours a week, you can do it on 2.5 hours a week.
Well,
I would like more.
Well, I remember when I went to the boot camp
.
And I was talking to one of your coaches back then, and you know, and I said, well, how many hours do I need? Because I'm doing over 100 hours. And I was getting up at 4:15 and not finishing until 6:30, 7 o'clock, 7:30 at night.
Yeah.
And he said, if you give me 1 hour a week, we can start to make some change.
Yeah.
Now, that was a pretty small, but to me, I'm like, okay, well, an hour's easy. I can find an hour. I'm doing that many. So, but now, you know, I reckon, you know, if you can do a couple of hours every couple of days, sort of consistency, I reckon.
I think consistency is the key.
I sort of work on 2 hours every 2 days, if you can sort of, you know, because then you get a roll.
Yep.
Once you get, you know, you send out those emails, you make those phone calls, you get the returns, and then, of course, that self-perpetuates and you get that ball rolling and it just keeps going.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And there's lots of strategies you can implement to be more time efficient and things like that, which obviously we teach as well. So, yeah, and so what would you say to somebody about the commitment of time and money to actually getting ahead versus, oh, I'll just go and do this deal, I'll just go and do that, then I'll, whatever.
Well, looking back, it's easy to look back and join the dots when you go backwards.
Yep.
But looking forwards, for me, it was a no-brainer for me at the time because I didn't have any education. And as much as
I'm not saying it's necessarily good, because I mean I had to unlearn a lot of stuff when I first started.
No, but that's what I mean. That was the good bit, because I didn't have to unlearn anything.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I could actually quantify, because
paid for a university degree or any of those things.
I don't like to use the word brainwashed, but I sort of hadn't been brainwashed into this that you have to do a course to get a job to get an education to get a job.
Yeah.
So for me, it was a case of I could actually pay some money, get some good education. And then it was a way of paying for itself.
Yeah.
So for me, it's paid itself off, like I said, heaps of times over. Yeah. But, you know, from a time of money, just take that step, understand that we've got some people we're talking to a week ago, I think. It was about a week ago, and they were negotiating on a deal.
Mm.
And actually, it was one of the new Platinum students.
Oh, yeah.
And they've just joined Platinum. And it's, you know, Platinum's a 12-month program and,
sure.
you know, 3-year apprenticeship, you call it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but that first deal, they have just, like, they're only 2 weeks in. They've just, 52,000, I think, we've just negotiated off.
Yeah.
Off the purchase price.
Mm.
And that was simply by showing them the commercial
reality.
Strategy and
yeah.
the reality of what that property should be worth.
Yes.
Whereas they had already had an offer at that and we backpedaled it, we pulled it back.
Yeah.
And we went back and 52 grand. So,
yeah.
you know.
Not so to be sneezed at.
The education had then paid, you know, so it was really easy to quantify for them.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Very good. Okay, guys. Well, you know, thanks for listening and watching. And thanks for joining me.
No worries. Yeah. Thanks. Can I go do some shopping now?
You better go buy your wife a birthday present.
Oh, so that was your fault.
Don't you dare say it's my fault. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you again real soon. Bye now.